This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Drake is with us. We are discussing the case of Brian Koberger. Robin, of course, retired FBI special agent, Hidden Killers contributor. When we're talking about the alibi that now has been given by Koberger, I like to go for nighttime drives. From an investigative standpoint, how significant is it a suspect like Koberger to claim that he likes to take late night drives?
You know, being, as everyone knows, my roots are spy recruiting.
Yep.
You know, my job was recruiting intelligence officers from foreign adversaries that do not have our best interests at heart. And when I was looking for individuals to recruit, and when I say recruit, really you're providing them an opportunity, a safe passage to us that they could then put it into their regular lives so they wouldn't be noticed by their own people. And one of the things that we looked at, or I looked at in hindsight, the ones that you never suspected would ever betray their country and cooperate with us were the ones that on the outward side were just the staunch supporters of their own regimes, but also they established a pattern of behavior in their lives throughout their entire overseas professions. And we're talking years and sometimes decades, where they would create a time period that they would be alone with their families, and they made the excuse that, oh, we just go shopping for 6 hours on Saturdays by ourselves. Meanwhile, the rest of everyone else always traveled in groups to not have any nefarious things happen. And so what they did is they designed by their daily habits a time gap that they could then substitute something nefarious in, like cooperating with us. And it wouldn't look like anything else to anyone else of their own people. In other words, so if they're looking for an insider threat inside of their own embassy, yeah, it's not going to be them because they haven't deviated their patterns of behavior. And so to me, this first thing that struck me when Koberger lawyer said that he just goes out for nightly drives, I said, oh, well, that's exactly what bad guys do. They establish a pattern of behavior for their alibi so that if they happen to be caught, this is what he normally does in his normal pattern of behavior. So I think it's a pretty easy thing to go at just from that scientific standpoint of the fact that this is what bad people do. If they're going to try to hide a crime, they're going to try to hide it in something they're doing routinely.
And that's so interesting about this, because initially we hear he's looking forward to be exonerated. There's an alibi. There's this or that. Do you think this is the alibi he legitimately planned on giving, and then Ann Taylor's just delivering it at this point? And in his mind, he thought that's a solid alibi? Or did they get down to a conversation going, what is your alibi? And there isn't much. And maybe he thought, going for a drive, that'll tell him. That'll get him off my case.
So put on my conjecture hat again.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. You know, so let's look at my arc of my behavior throughout this with assessing it. I continually go back to, I think this is a really bad science experiment this high school kid did on how to kill someone and be a serial killer. And he read in a book someplace, again, pure conjecture.
Sure.
He read a book someplace about how to hide in plain sight and how to make it look like your normal pattern of behavior. And so that was his planned alibi. Now, whether that's the truth or not, who knows? We'll find out, you know, when it goes to prosecution. But, you know, it fits my modus operandi of a science experiment that he did to how to be a serial killer and all his years of study, just when it was met with the light of day and reality, just doesn't hold up.
Do you feel like Ann Taylor, the attorney, is almost being held hostage here? there's been a lot of talk, and we've even talked about it, of she seems to have some sort of a strategy here going on that seems to be a bit deeper than we think. But then things like this come out. Yeah, I guess you're expecting more of a strategy from someone that we thought may have had more. But ultimately, at the end of the day, she has to do what her client wants. And if he's sitting there thinking that he's in charge and steering the ship more than she is, she's going to have to come out and make statements like this, exactly like she did. Is this a situation where from behind the scenes, he really is pretty much calling all the shots at this point? And Anne's there going, well, you know, I have to do what he wants at the end of the day, even if he's not going to listen to my suggestions and my expertise.
Strategy and modus operandi might be different ways to look at it here. I think... strategy as like long-term game plan, she would have had to have known all the facts and truth in order, I think, to have a strategy. I think her modus operandi is always to take what your client gives you and do the best you can with it. he might have oversold what he had when he was in discussions with her. And so she's just doing her job, is taking whatever I get and doing the best I can with it. And that's what she gets paid the big bucks for.
Sure.
And so in his mind, again, like you said, in his mind, he had these fail safe things of, just in case I do get caught, I have this and this that I've done. And I read in a book once that, you know, you can use this as an alibi. And so I think that's what he might have been feeding her. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, again, unless you're in that mind. It's interesting. She doesn't strike me as the type of person that's going to take a lot of, obviously, it's a collaboration with your client, but I'm always struck when these defense attorneys seem to be taking more direction from their clients than they should be, especially when the client is off.
Yeah.
You know, I think the also defense attorney in Lori DeBelvallo's case, who gave that horrendous, you know, statement at the end of her sentencing where he said, you know, she's misunderstood, she's all about love. And you're like, what are you talking about? That was clearly a statement that came from Lori Vallo, but you didn't have to read it. You didn't have to say it. So I'm always kind of perplexed when defense attorneys are taking maybe a little too much direction or get too enthralled with their clients, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I'm with you. This one's a little, it's striking to me that someone that is good at what she does is giving so light answers, I guess.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.